That's just my introductory slide. We're supposed to talk about the movement to medicinal cannabis, which I know is of interest because it's in the news today and people are taking sides one way or the other. I'd like to, before we begin, to talk about some terms we're going to use, and so we're all on the same page. Medicinal, I'm defined here as a drug or other preparation used for the treatment of diseases, injuries, or other health issues. I think we can all agree on that. I don't think I have to give the definition for a plant, because I expect you've all seen one and maybe tasted one and said that one's pretty and that one's not pretty. Afflictions, we're talking about physical, physiological, or mental problems that limit the fullness of life. And a movement, which we're talking about today, is a group of people working together to advance shared goals. So with those in mind, I usually start out a talk when I'm in class talking about medicinal plants, and we have several classes in it, talking about three things that go with medicinal plants, and that is tradition, myth, as you go through the stories, and science. And since we're all in here, I know that we're all scientists, and that's kind of what we believe in. I put down here from Dave Holm, science not accepting arguments based on authority, but from evidence, and that's what we want to look at. Marijuana gives rise to insanity, not in its users, but in the policies directed against it. That's from Malberg at the University of Indiana, and I thought that was probably very true. Indeed, if we look at it, politics and policy overcome science, tradition, and myth. The government can vote and change the politics. Some of the myths and traditions you might have come across, I may date myself here, but science is wrong and politicians know best. Pharmaceuticals are good or great, and medical marijuana is bad. Ketchup is a vegetable, and just say no. I think those came from the Reagan administration. Here's a little label that used to go out. Beware young and old, all walks of people in all walks of life. This may be handed to you by the friendly stranger. It contains killer drug, marijuana. So those are kind of myths and go on. So it comes to something that's not approved by the government. Not approved by the government. Just stamps over and the questions are all done. Or they have been done in the case of marijuana. Now, I'm not here to argue that the government should not be involved. Indeed, it should, and I think we all should be thankful for some things that are done, talking about when we talk about medicine or any of these other type of things, that the government has some rules and regulations that are there to protect our health and make us safe, and I think that's a valuable type of thing. Indeed, when it comes to medicinal plants or any type of plant material, we have to determine the bioactivity and the safety, and there's procedures worked out, and this is just to give you some idea of all the tests and everything that plant material goes through before it comes on the market. Now, the challenge, I think, is when we look at medicinal marijuana or marijuana in general, is that some people believe it's a medicine and some people believe it's a recreation drug. I put down the data here from a survey of some registered voters in Ohio that was done this year. And 87% thought it was medicine, and 51% thought it was recreation. Now, when we have this type of division, of course, that there's a lot of controversy on whether we should have it or not, because if it's a recreation drug, then that's different than a medicine, and what's driving it. Many people have questioned on this, how did you get started in looking at medicinal marijuana? And when I first started in 2001, of course, you have to have a permit to grow it. Our objective was to grow some so that clinical trials could be run to see if this did have some health benefits or not. Clinical trials are common. You've all heard of them. Patients are treated and see if they get better or get worse. I thought when I began here that, well, gee, you just go in. You got this little thing you have to go through, but it's just a little. You go in a door and you find your way through a couple more, and you come out and you got medicinal marijuana. I was kind of in the dark, and when I turned on the lights, this is what I saw. It was scary. And so you can see that there's a lot of things that go on in looking at medicinal marijuana, and that's one of the problems that we have. I thought we should just do a little history on this. In the U.S., marijuana has been growing since 1619, the earliest date I could find, when King James of England ordered colonists to produce 100 plants for export. Each of them had some, the colonists that had land. And we go on down, and I make this go down because things got worse as we went along here. 1900s, Sears and Roebuck was selling marijuana to cure morphine addiction. I thought that's kind of interesting. But the 1930s, when things really began to get bad for looking at marijuana as a recreational drug or as a medicinal drug. And that began primarily with Harry Anslinger. I put one of his quotes down here, at least part of it. I thought the first phrase there and the rest of the quote was not even, it was too nasty for this audience even. You have to go to his site and look up about him. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations, and he goes on with whom. The primary reason to outlaw marijuana is its effect on the degenerate races, whatever they are. So this is a type of atmosphere that came in the 1930s. Harry Anslinger was the drug czar at the time, that is for the government, primary purpose against it. There's a lot of relationships going on here. I just might mention that William Randolph Hearst, who owned all the papers, the newspapers at the time, told tales of an axe murder by Mexicans using marijuana in Texas. I don't know if they were using marijuana or not, but William Hearst had a lot of forestry he was going to make paper out of because he was the big paper, newspaper guy. And a hemp fiber makes pretty good paper, and he didn't want to lose his market. So he played this story in these newspapers, and since he owned most of the newspapers in the U.S., he could get it out to everybody. So he was a bad apple here in going on, I guess just a businessman. And then in 1941, this bad publicity caused the American Medical Association to remove cannabis from the U.S. pharmacopoeia, and we've been struggling ever since then. This one I started at the bottom and went up because I thought things had turned maybe a little bit. I started out there with President Nixon, who declared war on drugs, famously. 1978, the federal government created a compassionate program allowing, I think it was five people to get some marijuana. And I wanted to say here that the DEA has obstructed marijuana rescheduling 1972, 1989, 1995, and 2001, before I even got started into this. The DEA, you can see we put in our initial application in 2001, and the DEA rejected it in 2004. They're not really swift about these things. They delay more than anything else they can do. We did win in court case with Judge Bittner, but Judge Bittner is a member of the DEA, and she could be overruled by the director, and the director did overrule us in 2011. We'd already spent 10 years. And we went to an appeals court outside the DEA, and in 2013 we returned down then. So it has a history. I think that the movement, I thought we should go through some of those so we know what's driving the reasoning for these things. And there's some arguments, plus and minus. As you look at them, you can think whether that's a plus or a minus. Medicinal benefits. Most people think marijuana is a medicine. Crime reduction. No law, no crime. Government distrust. Government favors the rich. Personal choices. Free country. New revenue. Tax marijuana and less prison expense. Scientific evidence, studies indicate no danger, social pressure, other people using. And I detailed these out a little bit. Medicinal benefits, treat glaucoma, probably most people have heard that. Reverse effects of tobacco and increased lung capacity, control epileptic seizures. And on through those you can look, and there's many more. Now the thing is, it says we say these and we can find that, but there's not a lot of clinical trials that have been done, and that's where the work needs to go in. People can say this, but saying things is easy. Proving them, as we know in science, is somewhat difficult. Crime reduction, we do have some numbers. There was approximately 878,000 arrests for marijuana in 2007. The jail rate was 110 per 100,000 until 1975. Now it's 751 per 100,000. Estimate 41,000 people in federal and state jails. One marijuana arrest in the U.S. every 42 seconds in 2012. Government distrust, partisan attacks among politicians make us not think that politicians are know everything. There's a lack of congeniality among political parties. All of this turns us against whatever the government says. Now, we do have personal choice in this country. That's one of the things that we believe in America. Freedom, do as you want. So there shouldn't be any government coercion. The thing is, if you want to try something, you should be able to go and try it. Although there, we do know that we said in the beginning, there are some safety things we need to be concerned about. I think that many people think that we need to, about the limit of business domination, the concept that corporations are people turned a lot of people against government. New revenue, yes, fewer people in jail, less expense, 12 million to 40 million in Colorado, and the tax on marijuana. In February 2014 alone, the latest data I could find, they brought in $1.43 million, according to the Denver Post. And so they kept people out of jail, saved money, and put the tax on marijuana. The scientific evidence indicates that marijuana does not lead to hard drugs, does not cause long-term cognitive impairment in adults, does not lead to dependency, and does not contribute to traffic accidents, which seems to be one that people like to mention. There's also a social pressure. A peer pressure among teenagers is a real problem in any type of drug. Recreation, socializing, improved quality of life. And now we're coming down to whether the question here, whether it should, is a medicine or it's a recreational drug. And that divides our audience, as we saw in the very beginning with our fulcrum there, our balance. It helps people relax, can become a habit, an excuse for not doing anything else. And image is important. Now, when we think of recreational, we think of the individual on our right. And when we think of something nice, we look at our TV doctor there who thinks of all these effects on the brain. So again, we have these two sides that we need to think about. The war on drugs is certainly having costs about $15 plus billion dollars a year. That's $500 a second, and I worked that out. So that's all drugs. It's not only marijuana, but certainly marijuana is a leading one in this. The views on legalizing marijuana, if we look at how the American audience feels, you can see in the late 1960s and early 70s, even up to the 1990s, that the majority of people thought it should be illegal, still holdovers from the publicity that's had. But there's a slight gain, and it especially occurs as we move into the late 90s and early 2000s. This follows the general trend that we saw with any herbs, okay, that people began to look at plant medicine in a different type. And I think marijuana started to follow this trend. People said, hey, it's good for you. It can cure some things, like it's happened with any other type of medicinal plant. And certainly that has brought it up. And you can see there about last year that crossed there that more people thought it was should be legalized than thought it should not be legalized. There are some myths we still need to overcome. One is that marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Again, I'm talking about Harry Anslinger coming back from the 20s and 30s yet. Marijuana leads to fascism and communist brainwashing. You smoke a joint and you're likely to kill your brother. No, I don't think anybody here wants to kill their brother. And I, so if you believe these myths, then you need to be careful. The bioactivity of cannabis, of course, is in the cannabinoids, which are drugs, chemicals inside the plant material. Some 85 have been isolated from the cannabis plants, and several types of receptors throughout our body, primarily in the brain. And in the immune system, they seem to be concentrated, and there can relieve pain. The THC, of course, is the primarily ingredient for recreational. It gets you, quote, high, unquote, but has little medicinal benefit. The other cannabinoids, and primarily cannabidiol, is the one that's thought to be primarily a good medicine. At this time, I wanted to also compare our dependence. We talked about dependence a little bit, and I found this chart here that shows where cannabis is. If you look up under physical harm as one, and you look halfway between dependence one and two, you can see cannabis. And that's a lot safer than tobacco, alcohol, all those other things that are above that or to the right of the thing, more physical harm and more addictive. I think most of us recognize the addictiveness of tobacco, and which has caused a lot of deaths from cancer, and not from cannabis. The Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, is formed in 1973 all drugs. They have a large budget, $3.3 million for anti-legalization education, that is to keep drugs or plant materials such as marijuana from becoming legal use, $182 million essentially for reduction of drug-related crime, and over a $1 billion for eradication suppression of foreign and domestic supplies. $9,893 cost per arrest when you divide it all out. So it's an expensive administration. Well, that brings us to the good guys or the bad guys, looking at how you're looking at it here with the police officers confiscating marijuana. And that's been going on a long time. So we have to respect them. I had a lot of DEA agents come to talk with me. Some of it was a little bit silly. If I have time here for one little story, I was going to grow this marijuana in a room about a third the size of this. You know, it was probably about 14 by 16 or something like that. Cement walls on each side, cement ceiling, cement floor. Each wall was cement. One door in. I had some lights in there. I said, okay, this is pretty. That's what they're really worried about. Somebody was going to walk in and steal it. Had to have video cameras inside and out. Had to have a special lock on the door. And I said, okay. I kept saying yes, yes. I said, oh, what's behind that wall? They said, I said, well, that happens to be a dressing room for upstairs theater. You're going to have to put up a sealed barrier. I said, fine, I'll put up a sealed barrier. You know, that they said, you said I had to have a 24-hour guard by the door. And they said, yeah. I said, wouldn't the, but they said, you know, the steel barrier was necessary because somebody might rent a jackhammer and jackhammer through the wall. I said, you know, the my 24-hour guard's only about 15 feet away. Don't you think he'll hear this jackhammer going? Might not. Then I said, you know, the DEA agents were really nice people, okay? They were doing a job, and they're hard to do. I said to the agent, I said, well, this is fine. I'll hire the guard. I'll, you know, be sure that we can watch to put the steel barrier up. Anybody said, I'm a little bit curious. I'm on a college campus. I said, you could probably go out here in the street and buy marijuana cheaper than you could rent the jackhammer. They did not think that was funny. Not at all. I was the only one smiling. I mean, ooh, yeah. Anyway, that's what happens. So this is today's market. This is today's market here. We have cleanliness. I've been to some of these places. Maybe some of you have. I've interviewed the people. I've been very pleasantly surprised at how nice this material is being marketed. And that's good. So we can go off into the sunset here, I guess, with kind of a closing story. I might say that medical marijuana has passed legislation in a lot of states, and some are pro-medical, but haven't got to it yet. But this is a thing going on. And I just wanted to emphasize a little bit, organizational support I've had in these studies that comes from several groups, and there are a lot of groups against medical marijuana or medicinal marijuana.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
We can take maybe one question for Dr. Kramer.
Yes, speak up.
Did you look at the Domestic production against importation?
Did I look at production versus importation?
Yes.
I have not. What? You have any information? The question is, what's the production here in the U.S. versus the importation? In most of the states, the material has to be grown in the state. It's not legally from other countries.
There's no legal importation. There's no legal importation.
Yes, right.
I don't think anybody's measuring it.
But it does come in. I think that the live portion of people would have a hundred and how much comes in.
I have no idea how much comes in. That's a good question to ask the DEA. I'm sure they're stopping it all.